Appreciate that. I'm very glad to be here. Thank you, Brother Garcia, for warming up the crowd. I appreciate that. I told Brother Shipman, you brought the best missionary. He's funny. I like him. Not that all missionaries are boring. It's just that he has a special gift. And very thankful for the missionaries. I'm very thankful to be here at this meeting. This is the first meeting that I've actually come to and stayed for the whole meeting. And I identify with the Apostle Paul as the least among the preachers. He said the apostles, I say least among the preachers. These guys preach at every meeting. Have you seen their pictures on every single one of them? But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And so I'm very thankful to be here. I'm thankful for the preaching that we've heard. It's been a great blessing. And I've learned some things at this meeting. I've learned that my wife is liked more than I am because everybody that's met me that knows me says, "Where's Twyla?" That's one thing I've learned. Another thing I learned was never sit behind Brother Sam and cut up during a meeting because he'll separate you from your friends. Brother Woodcock was getting me in trouble. Actually, it was Brother Gaddis. And Brother Sam goes, "You too. You move over there. You move over there." "Yes, sir." But I'm very thankful to be a part and to participate, especially by preaching. And I'm very thankful, Brother Tidd, that you invited me to be here. I appreciate it. I want to read you something before we stand. If you'd turn to Jeremiah chapter number 42, we're going to look at this. But I've been pressed in the spirit, especially in the last year, concerning prayer and the lack of it in my life. It's too bad that circumstances have to drive you to conclusions and not the Word of God. Ian Bounds, I've been reading a book written by him called The Preacher and Prayer. And he starts the book off with this statement, and I wanted to read it because it's very profound and should be considered as we look at the Word of God. He said, and remember, he wrote this in 1907. He says, "We are constantly on a stretch, if not a strain, to devise new methods, new plans, new organizations to advance the church and serve enlargement and efficiency for the gospel. This trend of the day has a tendency to lose sight of the man or sink the man in the plan or organization. God's plan is to make much of the man, for far more of him than anything else. Men are God's method. The church is looking for better methods. God is looking for better men." And the premise of the book is that God is looking for better men, and the way to be a better man is by prayer. That we cannot make ourselves better servants of God by doing things. It's going to be only by the power of God in our lives that's going to make us effective in spreading the gospel. And I don't know about you, but in the last year, God has brought something in our church's life that has driven me to pray. Because I don't know what to do. And it's made me a better man. I hate standing up here and crying like Brother Gaddis. I feel like a copycat. But the truth is, the thing that most disturbs me about the fact that it took this circumstance is that it took a circumstance, and the Bible is filled with all the motivation we need to be the men that we're supposed to be and the women we're supposed to be for God. I don't need outside circumstance to drive me. But it's because I think I have a plan. That's what we're going to look at this morning in Jeremiah chapter number 42. If you would look there with me, we're not going to read the entire chapter, but when you get there, if you'd stand with me and I would read the entire chapter, and it isn't because we're standing. It's just that I want to move through the message. Brother Hardy, I heard Brother Dave Hardy spoke one time. I heard him say this, and I agree with him. We spend a lot of time preaching what we have to say, but we don't take time reading the Word of God. So if we continue reading through the Word of God, don't be dismayed. We're going to get to where we're going. But I want you to kind of be ready for where we're going, because although I don't think any of us would say, this is me, I think we should say, this is probably me. Verse number 1 of chapter 42 says, then all the captains of the forces and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, the son of Hoshea, and all the people from the least, even unto the greatest, came near and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech thee our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but few of many, as thine eyes do behold us. That the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. I think that's Jeremiah's testimony all through the book. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. Chapter 43, verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah the son of Hoshea, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely! The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there, but Baruch the son of Neriah setteth thee on against us for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. So Johanan the son of Kareah and all the captains of the forces of all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. They had a better plan. When I read this, I don't want to be the person who has the better plan. So when I study this, I go, how did they get there? They said something that from the get-go was a lie. How do you get there? Have I been there? Sadly, yes. I don't want to be these people. And the Old Testament was written as an example, the Bible says. So how do I stay away from this heart? Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us and for your word and for the truth of your word. God, the preachers that have preached this week have certainly blessed me. The missionaries that have presented their burden, just the fellowship that we've been able to have is all because of you and your son. And we're very thankful for the gift of your son and the grace that's been extended to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I pray today as we look into your word that it would be profitable, that we would have our hearts tuned in to what it is that you would have us to learn. And God, I pray that most of all that you would be pleased and honored and lifted up and glorified, and that as the angels look on this gathering, that they would be able to turn to you and say, you are very wise, God, in how you have worked in the lives of Gentiles to cause them to call you their God and to worship you in spirit and in truth. I pray that our minds would be settled and stayed upon your word this morning, and that we would be very thankful in our hearts for what you're going to do and what you want to do. Thank you for what we've already heard in song and message, and I pray that you'd continue that in our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Have you ever had this conversation with someone? Brother Ron, we're praying about moving, and it's for a better job, and we're really excited about it. The opportunities are great, and you might say something like this. Saw something on the floor. Sorry, excuse me. I'm very distracted very easily, so nobody move, okay? Anyway, somebody said, "You don't chase any rabbits." I said, "I'm not worried about the rabbits. It's the squirrels I chase. They're much faster." Anyway, yes, you might say something like this. "Well, do you have a church you're going to?" "Well, not yet. We're going to take care of that when we get there." You go, "Well, you know, the Bible talks about a body and parts of the body and how God places the body in particular." "Well, yeah, well, I know all that. But see, I got this plan. I'm going to work for 3 years and then I'm going to retire because I'm going to make so much money." I mean, I actually had a conversation with someone like this, and then we're going to be okay, preacher. Don't worry. And about 3 months after they got there, some people from our church went to visit them, and I said, "Well, where are they going to church?" "Well, they're not going to church." Because very rarely do we pray with real intent to get an answer from God. I mean, we're people. We plan. I am not against planning, please. A meeting like this doesn't happen without somebody making a plan. So don't go out there and say, "Well, Brother Ron believes you're supposed to fly by the seat of your pants to make things happen." No, no, no. I don't like flying by the seat of my pants. I like flying on an airplane. But I don't like flying by the seat of my pants because I like to know what the next thing is. And honestly, I don't like it interrupted. I don't want my routine interrupted. I mean, I get up in the morning and I fold my sleeping clothes a certain way and I put them in the drawer, even if I'm in a hotel. I mean, I'm a plan. I make the bed in a hotel. You know, you're supposed to let the maid make the bed or the lady table. But no, I feel compelled because I do like things in order. I like things in order. But I like them so much that I tend to try to control every aspect of the plan. If we're in church service and I see something go wrong, instead of just going with the flow, I note it and I reprimand people later. "You and I will be having a talk later." There's something else I learned here. You know how to make you know how to make Brother Webster really quiet really fast? Give him whatever he's asking for. Yesterday in that meeting, we promised $34,000. He goes like this. I was like, I have never seen him that quiet. Anyway. Sorry, Brother Webster. It is funny, but I do. I think about, I have a plan. Brother, I work for Brother Dave McCracken, which explains much of my problem. And I love Brother Dave, but Brother Dave's a fly-by seat of the pants person. And you know what I learned from him, honestly? And some of you are going, "Oh, you should not talk about Brother Dave like that." There's another guy who worked for him here. If you want to talk to him, Brother Jim Alter, we have plenty of stories. But one of the things I learned from him was this. Many times, he did things because he was led of the Spirit to do them, and it was pretty much always right. Every time, no, because I don't know how much Spirit he had then. But I watched and I observed and I learned, you know what? You don't have to be in charge of everything and in control of everything. When this situation came into the church, one of the things that I realized was I knew nothing about how to handle it. I still don't know what to do. I sit like this. And it bothers me. I'm the pastor. The men in the church come and say, "Well, pastor, where are we doing? How's this going?" And I go, "Please listen to me. I have to say, because it's true, I have no idea. It's the best thing God's ever done for me. Because in all of this, I've had to turn to God and pray with intent to literally hear what it is He has to say. How do you go from saying you will hear Him to saying we're not going to do what He says? If you just turn back to Jeremiah 23, I'm not going to preach this, but I want you to see the first step in the process. Jeremiah chapter number 23. Now, if you've read the book of Jeremiah, you've studied the book of Jeremiah, you understand that God set Jeremiah forth with a plan from his mother's womb that he was going to preach this message to these people. This is after Isaiah has already warned Israel. Now he is warning Jerusalem and Judah that God is going to punish them. Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in. And the best thing you can do is just give up, because this is my plan. And if you'll give up and give in, I'll preserve a remnant here. I'll do what you're... I will return 70 years. I'll return you back. So it's okay to buy property. And Jeremiah goes through that. And we know if you... I love the pictures that God uses to teach his people in Jeremiah. And in chapter number 23, Jeremiah has preached and the message has continually been refused and continually been compared. And there have been other men who have risen up and they've said, well, that's not what God told me. I will tell you, God told me I had a dream and God told me that this was the way it was going to be. And so they get up and people are going, well, I like your dream better than Jeremiah's word from God, which is still going on today because we're dreamers. We'd rather believe something really good than to really hear the truth. The truth is, our brother said it, but the truth is the world that we live in, this world, this present world, is quickly coming to an end. Things are building toward the return of Jesus Christ. We do live in the greatest time on the earth. We have the best opportunity to reach people with media and with the ability of the internet and other things. We have the best opportunity to send people to foreign fields. This is a great time to be alive. But the truth is, judgment's coming. That message cannot change. But here's what the people, here's what happened. Verse number 30. God's speaking, or verse number 29, I'm sorry, verse number 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people or the prophet or a priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall you say every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered? And what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more. For every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of the host, our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee, and what hath the Lord spoken? But since ye say the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because ye say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say the burden of the Lord. Do you think maybe God's a little mad about them calling his word a burden? They're mocking. They're not saying, tell us what God... They're saying, what's your burden? Why is God so mad? What's the burden here? Everything you say is judgment, judgment, judgment. And I'm sick of it. Give me some good words. You know, Brother so-and-so down in Houston, he's speaking words of kindness and words of wisdom, and his wife is telling us that we don't go to church to please God. Why can't you give us some of those words, those kind words, those words we like? We need some kindness. Why you insist? God said, okay, here's your burden. I got a burden for you. You're saying, what's the burden of the Lord? You're calling my word a burden. Well, let me tell you what's going to happen. I'll bring everlasting reproach upon you and perpetual shame, which shall not be forgotten. You know, the people of Judah started looking at God's word and the truth as this big burden. Why is God so mean? Why is God so mad? Instead of listening, if you would read, and we can't do it, but if you'll read Jeremiah up into chapter number 23, God gave judgment, but he also gave a way to be successful while he was judging. He didn't just say, I'm going to kill all of you, and he could have. He said this, if you'll just yield to the punishment, I'll keep a remnant here. If you'll yield to the punishment, I'll preserve you in the new land. If you'll just yield yourself to my word, I will keep you and you will be kept together and stayed together because I am the Lord your God. We heard that last night. God wanted them to look at him and his word and this punishment, if you will, and say, well, it's from God. And he said to do this, and that's what we're supposed to do. You know, when we start to plan, usually it's because we begin to think that God's word is too hard. God has not told us to build gigantic churches. He hasn't. He's told us to reach the lost with the gospel. Now, I'm not against big churches, so don't go, well, Brother Ron's jealous. I'm not jealous. I'm thankful that there are churches that are setting standards and that there are churches that a guy can go, man, that's a blessing. Look at what God's doing. Instead of going, I don't know why God's blessing him and not blessing me. Well, I'll tell you this. They're compromising if they have that many people. That's not necessarily the truth. In fact, I've seen, and you should probably see in this day and age, people are actually looking for somebody to stand up and take a stand for something and not be like everybody else. See, Jeremiah is taking a stand, and the only friend he has is Baruch. That's it. Why? Because he's delivering a message that people don't want to hear. Do you know that we're still delivering a message people don't want to hear? That should not change the message or the approach. Why? Because God is still as serious about his word as he was in the days of Jeremiah. We are, I don't know about you, but I again, planning, and so we had a little bit of a time a few years back where some people were upset and they left. And I'm going to be honest. I began to say, well, maybe, because there was a man in the church saying, well, you want me to tell you why people are leaving? People are leaving because you preach expositionally, and that's the easy way to preach. And I went, I did. I looked at him and I went, I have nothing to say to that because you're wrong. I wish God would come down and say, this is what you're preaching. Instead, I have to study and read and dig and consider and apply. And I just soon preach something that God says, this is what you're preaching and you don't have to listen to it. This is for brother so-and-so on the ninth row who thinks you're evil. I wish God spoke like that, but he doesn't. He doesn't. He says, the answers are in my word. I'm still very serious. In fact, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. What do I need most to be the man that I'm supposed to be? I need to pray and ask God to help me to understand by the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit of God, the truths of the word of God, not to convey to other people, but to make me a better man. And when the word of God gives me direction, as our brother was just preaching, I need to make sure that I remain unspotted from the world. I am sick and tired of this attitude that we can just be whomever we desire to be and still be a preacher. That's not God's plan. He's given us direction. We are so fly by night in our plans when we plan. God has a direction for the church. God has a direction for growth in the church. It's reaching the lost. It's, if it's for your church, it's bus ministry, if that's for your church. If you have the ability to minister to people in that way. If you have the ability to minister to kids. We love having Vacation Bible School every year, and it's a big deal at Temple Baptist Church. And it's a way to minister to the community and minister to the kids in the community. But it is not, please listen, a way and should never be a way to grow the church. We're always looking for ways to grow the church. And God says, you let me worry about giving the increase, and you be the man I've called you to be. You be the woman I've called you to be. We are planners. When we plan, we are basically disallowing God's direction from His Word that is very clear. You know and I know that the Holy Spirit of God never leads in opposition to His Word. Is that right? Do we plan in opposition to the Word of God sometimes? We do. You may not. You're very spiritual people. In fact, I can see many halos, or that could just be baldness. But I have a continuing problem with that. But the truth is, our plans sometimes are opposite of God's Word. And if it is brought to our attention, even in reading God's Word, instead of getting down on our knees and begging God to forgive us and help us not to plan against that, we just press on. I know you don't do that. And you're saying, well, Brother Ron, thank you for coming clean. Hi, my name's Ron. I'm a planaholic. I've been clean for one day, three seconds, and I'm sorry, that's the way my mind works. I know. My wife's all the time going, what are you doing? Dear, just go with it, all right? I'm feeling good about this. Well, you need to feel another way. See, I even have these conversations with myself. I'm sorry. And she's not here to rein me in, and I know that's why people say, where's Twyla? Because right now she'd be sitting down here going, focus. Shout out to Twyla, all right? It's my mind, I'm sorry. This was not in my plan. Anyway. I don't think God's plans are all boring and disappointing, and you have to go, oh, I'm following God's plan. Sorry. I really think God wants us to enjoy His plan. Even when, please listen to me, and I can say this with my whole heart, even when I don't really like it, I enjoy it. Why? Because His Word gives me certain sure things about how I'm going to come out of it. This world is not my home. Jesus said, the joy I'm giving you, the world cannot take it away, no matter what they do. No matter how it turns out, I'm giving you a home in heaven forever. You know what prayer does? It ties me to the only person who really cares and can do anything about anything. I love having friends and talking to them about some of the things, the trials and stuff. But I can tell you what, even if a friend's been through something that horrendous or maybe has made it through, really the best comfort I can find, the best comfort I can give is the Word of God. Because honestly, I don't always understand God's plan. He doesn't ask me to understand it. He asked me to go with it. He's not asking me to give my advice to Him. Who can counsel Him? No one. What God wants from you and I is to be driven to His Word, where He's given us the answer. And the answer for the people in Judah and Jerusalem, especially where Jeremiah is preaching, that message was there. The message is still there for the world. God still desires for people to call out to Him in prayer. Pray without ceasing. Be thankful in all things, for this is the will of God concerning you which are in Christ Jesus. Do you know every time the Bible talks about prayer, it's also in association with thanksgiving? Because if you can be thankful when you're going through the trouble, God can do great things in you during that time. If you go to Psalm 119, we're not going to go there, but these are things that I've learned in this time of learning how to pray. If you go to Psalm 119, and I think it's a verse number 65, David begins to expound upon, and I believe David wrote it, so because he's the one who felt this way about the Word of God. But he says these words, he says, it's in the time of trouble, paraphrased, it's in the time of trouble that I best learned your Word. Where should I be driven when trouble comes? To God and His Word. That's where I should be driven. I shouldn't be driven to the self-help groups. I shouldn't be driven to the and look, I'm not against these things. I'm not trying to be ugly about it. But I'm telling you, the reason we plan is because we do not place the value that God places in His Word. He said, "My word shall not return unto me void." God is very serious about His Word. He's exalted His Word above His name upon the earth. God is very serious about His Word. He keeps His Word. He wants us to be driven to His Word. What drives me there is whenever I pray and I say, "God, I don't know what to do." Actually, I do. Go to His Word. Don't try to plan a way out of it. Pray about it. Look to the Word of God. The next thing that I see is that when they planned, and as they were planning, which we know, if you know this story, you know they planned, they had a plan. It's like they made prayer an exercise. Here's what I mean. It's something we Baptists do. They said, "Okay, I mean, this is the way the conversation should have gone. Jeremiah, huddle up. We have a plan. What we need you to do is pray and tell God what we're going to do. And then get His okay so we can do it. If He says we shouldn't do it, we're going to do it anyway. But just so you know, we want you to pray. Because it needs to look good. If I... in leading this people say, "Well, we prayed about it, and I'm telling you, this is where God led us. Even though we didn't have the resources, even though He told us not to do it, even though it was obvious that He told us not to go this direction, we're going to go because I prayed." Aren't you guys glad? They made prayer an exercise. It wasn't truly to seek God's will. It was to say they prayed. "Brother Ron, how do you know that?" Well, I know it because of what the Word of God says. Because in verse number 20, Jeremiah at the end of his telling them, God said, "Don't go into Egypt. And if you do go, you're going to die in Egypt. Just so you know, God's going to follow you there. You're not escaping His plan. His plan is this: you yield and He'll preserve a remnant here." So in verse number 20, I love this. I love this about the Word of God because it gives us an insight to God and Jeremiah. Jeremiah praying, God giving him the answer, and then here's what Jeremiah said. I love this. Verse number 19, he says, "The Lord has said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day." So he says, "I just want you to know, God's given me the answer, and here it is. Don't go to Egypt." Verse 20. For ye dissembled in your hearts when ye sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God. And according to all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. And now I have this day declared it to you, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he hath sent me unto you. Now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, in the place whither ye desire to go and to sojourn. How do we know that they were exercising themselves in prayer and it's something they did? It was a habit of the leadership of Israel to pray and not really pray. Saul, 1 Kings, he goes and presents the sacrifice, and Samuel comes and addresses him. Why? Because he wasn't supposed to offer the sacrifice. Samuel was supposed to offer it. And here's what he said. No, don't turn away from me now. Come back with me and worship so it looks like I have a relationship with the Lord. Now that's just one example. There are multiple examples. Here we just see the same trend. Johanan said, I want you to go and pray so it looks like we prayed, but we really don't care about what God says. How do you know? The word dissembled is there. And it means they never had intent to do anything God said. They weren't asking God to give them direction. They were telling God, this is the way we're going, and you're going to like it. God's attitude? Not going to bless that. You go wherever you want, but I want to tell you, my plan still stands. The direction I was taking you, where the judgment was going, nothing's stopping that. You can run to Egypt. You run good. But I want you to know, I know where you're going. Because you can't run from me. When we pray, it should not be something that we're trying to get God to agree with us. It should be that we're asking God, help me to agree with you. We pray for grace to make it through a time, and then we gripe about the time. I want to thank God publicly that he has given me not only grace, but insight during this time in the church's very dark. It's a very dark time in my heart. And for you, it might be a light thing, but for me, it's a big bummer because I've been there for 11 years and have never had a problem at the church. Now it's like God's going, okay, you want some problem? How's that? So I go, well, God, this isn't what I planned. If you would just adhere to my plan, this would not be like this. Have you ever said this? I had a plan, but so-and-so operated against my plan, and so this is how it came out. And I told you, I said, if we would do it this way, God would bless it. Well, you didn't do it that way, so how do you know? Can we allow that God has a plan and sometimes we don't know that plan even when we plan? I'm sure that there are things that have happened this week that Brother Tid went, well, I didn't plan that. Now he has a choice. All right, stop everything. We're off schedule. I'm tired of this. You people not sticking to my schedule. Or he could go with the flow. Say, okay, well, God had a different plan. Now, I'm not saying that should be your services. Everything should be planned as well as you can plan it. Don't get me wrong, but when things don't go according to our plan, do we just exercise ourselves in prayer and say, God, if you'll just adhere to my plan, it would be better? That's exactly what they did. They dissembled in their hearts. They were already set up. They already knew what they were going to do. It was already a done deal. They had their bags packed, their wagons loaded. They were moving to Egypt. We're going to go and sojourn there. So, you've probably heard this statement. Be careful, you might get what you pray for. I would make the statement this, be careful, you just might get what you did not plan for. Because in chapter 43, verse number 7, after they move, verse number 7 says, so they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Thus came they even to Tahpanhes. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah and to Tahpanhes, saying, take great stones in thine hand, and hide them in the clay in the bricklin, which is at the entry of Pharaoh's house, in Tahpanhes, in the sight of the men of Judah. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. And when he cometh, he shall smite the land of Egypt and deliver such as are for death to death, and such as are for captivity to captivity, and such as for the sword to the sword. And I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captives, and he shall array himself with the land of Egypt as a shepherd putteth on his garment, and he shall go forth from thence in peace. He shall break also the images of Beth Shemesh that is in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of the Egyptians shall he burn with fire. And you know those people that got that message went, uh-oh. God stuck with his plan. He followed us. And he was a lot more serious about it than we were. See, I can plan all I want. But unless I pray and ask God for his plan, my plans will always end like this. I spoke to a man recently who said this to me. You know, I don't really think that God directs people by his Holy Spirit the way that you Baptists preach it. That he gave you the Holy Spirit to lead you in truth. He doesn't really care if you take this position in this church. He doesn't really care if you have this program going on in the church. He doesn't really care. See, you've made a big deal out of what God wants and how he leads. And I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. If it looks like it's being led according to my feelings or my plan rather than being led according to the word of God, then you're right. But see, God does care whether I lead like that. He cares about my plans. He cares about the way that I desire to lead. He cares because everything he's doing in me is to make me the man that I need to be to convey the message to the people that he wants them to be, so that we learn together how to glorify him, which is the reason that I'm here. And that's God's plan, to glorify himself in me and in others. So that people say, only God can do that. And do you know at the end of the plan of the children of Israel who left Jerusalem, when they looked at what happened in Egypt, this is what other people would say. Only God could do that. And they are a reproach because God did that. You and I have a choice. We can bring God glory, but we can't do it through our plan. We can lead the churches that we've been given to pastor, but we must dismiss our plan. It is not plans and methods that reach the world. It's men and women who've been given God's plan. Preach the gospel. I love friend days. I love planning big times. I love meetings like this. But one thing I've noted that Brother Dan has said all along is that we prayed that God would be glorified. When you pray that God be glorified in your ministry, with ladies, with men in the church, are you really praying that God will be glorified through his plan, or that he'll be glorified through your plan? Every head bowed. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us and for your word. And God, I pray that this has been encouragement to those that are here, and it certainly, you reminding me that you have a plan, you have a direction. And God, I pray that my heart would be so given to your word and so given to your plan that you would cause me to be drawn first to prayer and hearing from you. Thank you so much for your love and for the grace that you've given us through Jesus Christ. I pray that we would be busy making your plan successful and seeing your plan fulfilled in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.